Timothy, chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. What?
Even stirring.
No, we don't endure that. That's a better translation. It says, no stirring your oatmeal. That too.
Oh, sorry.
Can we start now?
Yeah.
No, Ronnie's not here yet.
He was sitting on the porch.
He's right there.
Oh.
He's smoking a cigarette.
You can sit over here by me, yes. Ronnie.
And he's going to go straight. Oh, all right.
He's my buddy.
Guess you guys made up. Like the squirrels.
Uh-oh.
He's your buddy. You go as far as possible.
All righty. We're talking about what endure means.
Where are we at? What does it include, too?
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. What we've seen from Luke 22 was that you are my disciples if you continue with me in my temptation. So what we're trying to discern is what that means, because that's what endure means, to continue with him in his test. And we studied that if you watch to see how quickly God shifts your circumstances and see whether you continue with the mind of Christ or do you side with yourself or with man. It happens on a split second basis. You continue with him in his test. His test was to never once lean on his own mind or his own arm of understanding. Every split second from his baptism on was, actually probably from his bar mitzvah on, was to never, ever, ever lean on his own arm, or it was always everything in every way, God was the only subject of his sentence. Now, I kind of watched yesterday about how quickly the point of view, instead of setting your face or to go as flint up to Jerusalem or up to God, it's all of a sudden, boom, somebody says something. Your point of view shifts to yourself or to benefiting man. And this is the area of the greatest test in sanctification. Because the moment you shift your point of view to yourself or any man or to accomplish something, what happens? If you accomplish something, you have an investment in it. I mean, to accomplish, you have an investment in it. As opposed to whatsoever you do in thought, in word, and in deed, you do heartily as unto God. There's no ranking of importance. And it's faith that worketh by love. Period. You're faithful to whatever is set before you, but you have no investment in its outcome. Because every aspect of your life from this point forward is only about emptying yourself so that only His, you're only considering His will. His will. Not man's will, not your will. Amen? All right. And then we studied in John 6:6. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now, where are you? I promise you, if you revenge that disobedience that all your mind is capable of doing, if you ever, ever look at somebody with a utilitarian purpose, then you've missed. Every relationship, no matter where or when or what it's about, is expressive instead of utilitarian. Because you're coming from the place where you need nothing. You're at the first source of all things. It's only Him. Now, do you continue with Him in His temptation or you revert back to thinking that you're going through something. Everybody understand perfectly? John.
Perfect.
Unfortunately, many pastors and teachers in the body of Christ, they teach you how to do things. Now think of what that does to God, to the faith. It's the great apostasy. It's the great falling away. Falling away from what? Falling away from blind, obedient faith. And until you finally find out that, my God, faith isn't blind at all. It's the only real thing in the universe. And I've been deceived my whole life because I put me as the subject of my sentence. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds, casting down every imagination and each high place that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing, and that's in the sense that it never stops, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And once that obedience has been fulfilled, just once, and from that time you have a readiness to revenge with brutalness every other disobedience that you see. The moment you allow your thought, something about you, to rise up, then you're headed back down to the pit. The pit is what modern man calls depression. What we call depression. Does everybody understand a little bit? You're constructed. You are made perfectly. Every breath that you have ever taken, every thought you've ever had has led you to this point. God has wrought all the works in you. Other lords besides him have had dominion over you, maybe as quickly as or as recently as last night. But they are ghosts. They have no corporeal substance. They're lies of your mind to keep you alone. Amen? And they're so subtle.
Yeah.
Except once you've crossed that line, that bright line between the soul and spirit. Once the word of God has, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's cut that line so you know what is spirit and what is soul. Soul is just your you-ness. But it must be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. There's no reference to past, there's no reference to future. There's faithfulness at every minute, at every nanosecond, now. Now is the only accepted time. What? Why don't you share your cogitation or masturbation, or rather spiritually, what it is?
You should know that's crowd for getting lapped.
Yeah.
What?
I said you should know that saying you're cogitating is ground for getting lapped.
I didn't whap him.
I know, it says ground for it. I didn't say you did, I said it's grounds.
Talk to me about cogitation.
Well, I had some thoughts this morning about the universal mind, and while you're talking, it's like that's what a lot of Eastern religions seem to connect to, which I believe is the mind of Satan. Whereas the mind of Christ is empty, and there's God only. And for some reason, while you're talking, that's...
Reminded you of the Aquarian Gospel.
No, the difference between going with your mind, which, you know, if you are in that arena, it looks good. It looks like you're doing something, you know.
And that's fine.
Well,
that's baby steps.
Yeah.
Until you see the emptiness and futility of doing that. If you still think your thoughts are sweet, you will continue to think your thoughts are sweet.
Good recovery. The Afghani judge is 9.6.
It's God using every weakness that you have to his advantage, bringing you to that point.
Yeah, but he's finally saying, I'm tired of this. Now will I arise. When he arises, you do not want the garment spotted by the flesh. And so unless there's the fear of God as part of the equation, then you're going to, well, I'm going to think about this for a while, and I'm going to do this. I want you to think about it, but think about it fully. Amen. Don't stop like your sexual fantasies. You have a sexual fantasy, and you stop at the climax, but who in the hell are you going to wake up with next morning? Anybody know what I'm talking about, or do I have to be more explicit?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Jeff? You are in a very closed position there. You're the ultimate protecting yourself.
We will finish this conversation.
And if you start to finish the conversation later, I'll tell you to save it until next Bible study, because what you have to say is as important, if not more important, than anything I'm saying. All right? Everything that your mind does, it's constantly moving to shield and protect yourself. This must never be. Look at the walk of Christ and the disciples. He never hurried to where he wasn't wanted, and he never stayed just because he was wanted someplace. He literally is marching to a drummer that has no home, no understanding in human nature. In nature, he has a source outside of time that is it is his only stimulus, and that too must be our only stimulus. As he is in this world, so are we. Begin today. What it really means to continue with him in his temptation instead of concerning yourself with some crap that's going on with you. Do you understand what you are and who you are in him? You are as high as the human race can get. You think it's a light thing that you've been chosen in him? Are you going to rebuild the crap that you've already destroyed? And make yourself a transgressor again? What's going on, Tom?
Oh, I was thinking about, is it a light thing? And no, it's not a light thing. I just don't remember it. When it's not a question of thinking it's light. It's just, I can't remember it sometimes.
What God's response to that is?
Yeah, give me a whap.
No. He says, how can you forget? It's like, how could a mother forget a suckling child? The point is you stay connected. Instead of thinking you have an experience every once in a while you want to run around and tell everybody about it, if you're not in that place, that's the rarity. You're on the mercy seat. It's as high as it's the reason time and space exists. And it's always going to be just a few.
Is remembering that big a deal in the sense of remembering means it's always in your consciousness?
That's why repentance is your state of mind, not something you do.
Yeah, but this idea of remembering is...
You can't, but remember if you're in repentance, if that's your walk.
But my point is that if there's this remembering or whatever it is, consciousness place, then your consciousness is your, you know...
Your consciousness is only of God and others. And that's faith that worketh by love. It's His business. It's not yours.
Right, and then you just are, but you're not in this state of always manipulating your mind.
Well, I never said anything about manipulating your mind.
That's part of what remembering implies. I got to remember. And Harry always used to, I forgot. Well, there's just something about that word that bugs me.
Listen, I promise you. If you walk in the fear of God, remembering who you are and where you are will never be an issue.
So it's not, in fact, a conscious act of always
no
refocusing, but it's who you are. And
well, Oli gave me an answer to that hadn't heard before, because I do think I forget where I was and wander off somewhere else. And the answer is it's not so much that. If I spent more time in that place, you know, where I knew who I was and knew who God was, that I wouldn't have the problem of forgetting so often. And I thought about that, and I realized that I'm there more often than I used to be. And the times that I go away, I come back faster. You know, that ain't you know, passed a test, but things just happen in the way.
Yeah, maybe the word I'm looking for is recognizing.
How does a sheep get lost?
One blade of grass at a time.
One blade of grass at a time. And before he knows it, he's out of the fold. Why?
And then but at that point, he recognizes, say, something's not right here.
Yeah, but the other sheep, who God broke his leg to keep him, mm-hmm. he's always held in the arms of God, or in the arms of the shepherd, right next to the shepherd's heart, so that finally that rebellion is gone because he knows the heart of the Father. That's all this is about. Each one of us, God has broken a limb so that he can carry us next to his heart, so that we finally don't think about God as some process that we go through. He is our life. There is no separation. We are one in him as Christ is one, that they may be one in us, even as I am one in you. That's the only purpose time and space exists. So you finally know what true obedience means. It means that you have known the heart of God so well through suffering. And that's the only way you'll know it. That you do and think what he thinks without him saying a word. You're not some poor little beast that's a hunk of flesh that's wandering around. He's called you into his arms in Christ. That's how you endure. That's what abiding means. Any place your foot touches is holy ground, not because of you, but because of who you contain. Now what?
Well, just all this word endure is.
God engineers everything, every moment, every second in your life to test the seed, to see if there is anything that will take you away from that good and that perfect will of God. They are all his temptations, however, never yours. The only time they're yours, you know, you've fallen. You've left. You've left the strong city. Oh, I'm dealing with this. No, you're not. If you want to be left to your own imaginations, God will let you do it. But I promise you, he'll bring your worst fears upon you because you've made yourself an enemy of the Holy Spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about, Joe?
No.
Are you willing to continue in his temptation? The way is through Gethsemane. The way is through drinking the cup of suffering. Following in those bloody footsteps. Paul says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The way lies through Gethsemane, through the city, to outside the camp. You are fed in Jerusalem, but you bear his reproach outside the camp. You understand that? The only reason you have a job isn't to feed yourself.
You know, that story reminds me of when he's there in the garden and then they come to arrest him, and Peter instantly reacts and cuts the soldier's ear off, and his words are to put it away, and he heals the guy.
Amen.
Right there on the spot.
John 16 is this whole thing. Let's go there. To Luke 16. How did I do that? Because I'm an idiot.
Did you screw this up? I'm already here.
I figured you would be. I wouldn't know what to do without you.
Luke 16 or John?
John 16.
You're confusing.
This in verse 12. No, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you.
Right.
Chapter 6, I mean chapter 15, verse 11. Shut up, Joe. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, that's a huge deal. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now that's not talking about some heroic act. That's talking about a second by second living it.
Take no thought.
You are my friends. Now that's it. Wow. Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten of God, declares now how, what? He says, you are my friends because you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. Now just hear these words. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. One of the wildest evenings we ever had, I think it was when we had, what did we call the Wednesday night group?
Stealth.
John was... I'll talk about him since he's not here. John was talking about something, and I simply looked at him and said, John, I have nothing else to talk to you about. I have nothing else. I've showed you everything that I know that I've received from God. That was a explosion in him. You remember that?
Well, I remember his reaction afterwards.
Yeah.
It kept on.
Well, when one of the greatest nights we've had is the night when all of a sudden Joy Sanna started uncontrollably laughing.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't have to be good anymore. I just have to be me. Now that's your inheritance. That's your heritage. That his joy might remain in you, Ronnie, and your joy might be full at all times. And you know by now that your mind is your enemy. Your emotions are your enemy. They've never once in your entire life told you the truth. Unless you can come up with something.
Not a damn thing.
You have not chosen me. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you made a decision for Christ? I promise you, if you have enough strength to make a decision for Christ, you'll choose the Antichrist.
Because that's how he's sold. They sell you Jesus and then they...
I tell you not about the suffering.
That's right.
That's why it's only the poor can hear. The poor are the chosen.
That's a huge thing.
The ones that can't bring something to an end and think they're failures. That's who he chooses. None of you would be here. None of you would be fools enough to listen to me for 1 second unless you found out. By probably thousands of times, that you couldn't bring something to an end. But yet you still think that your mind is going to do something. This is what I think about that. Nobody cares. What?
I was waiting for you to say Tom.
I don't have to say that anymore. You know it.
He's leaving today, so he's a...
You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. What is ordained? Go through an ordination process. All right, let's have a little ordination process.
Approved of God.
Approved of God for his purpose.
That's right.
I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And fruit isn't more converts. Fruit is his life in you, and the making of converts is his business.
That's right.
If you believe, you will speak. If you speak, some will hear. You should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, abide, hoops, endure anything. But that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. Let's think about that one. Doesn't mean you run around using the name of Jesus as a mantra to get stuff for your stupid little life. It means that if you are in his nature, you will see and you will speak, and by the speaking of it, it comes into existence. But not to consume on your own lusts.
Yeah. It's always about somebody else.
If the world hate you, these things I command you, that you love one another. Love. Remember, you can't love two things at the same time except the love. You love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, your strength, your everything. Love, there's a verb, means give breath only to him. And in doing so, the fruit of doing so is you will love your neighbor as yourself. But the command is that you love the Lord with all your heart. give breath only to Him. The fruit is what happens, that you will love one another, love your neighbor. You will give breath to that person in need. Now, but now we come to the part that I wanted to get to, and it's already out of time, but I don't care because Josanna's not here. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And if it doesn't hate you, you haven't exposed yourself. You have been a different person in different places. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Before I was a believer, I was either president or chairman of 11 different organizations at the same time. And I was a different person in each one of them. And finally, it got so friggin' confusing. I forgot who I was when I was with the one other, blah, 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 blah. Everything was utilitarian purpose. Mostly you get laid.
How'd that work out?
Pretty good at the time. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. If the world hated him, it'll hate you. We'll talk more about endure when we meet next. But we're probably not going to meet on Monday, are we? And I'll forget, and I'll come over here, and I'll get mad because nobody's here again.
And then I'll laugh, sitting on the porch back there.
Take it, big guy.